going to be with us for a while, managing things. And Bob and Deanna will be there, but they'll be there only on a part-time basis. And they sent them up. Well, they remember people like Alec and the Zelinsky family and Dominic. They remember these, and they want to be especially remembered. And just as we're going to leave on Friday, both Mike and Marsh Falco came. He's going to do some work around the farm. And they wanted to send their love. Again, to the same people. They remember Alex, they remember Dominic, they remember the Zelinsky family, all those that constitute a part of the Aguilon class. And they all have very pleasant memories and associations here, as both Andrews and I have. This is not only a place of tradition, but it's a place of warmth and Christian fellowship and love. And I was asked tonight, you know, when are we going to meet Captain Leonard? Meeting in Captain Leonard's house. Well, he's not going to speak here, but he's going to speak at the Radisson Hotel tomorrow morning. Brother Lenny Grice. That's Captain Leonard. I don't know that at all. Huh? And as Martin says, I didn't tell him what I was going to speak on because he didn't ask me, of course. We're going to talk about the Epistle of Christ. The Epistle of Christ. Now that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. I might say that the way it all started caused the Apostle Paul to make that statement was that the brethren in Corinth were kind of questioning his credentials in some manner of speaking. You know, Paul was pretty hard on them, and he had to be, because they had permitted somebody to be in their midst and treat them like a brother who had committed some gross sins. And he wanted them to know this. And to make a reformation. And they did with time. So when he wrote this epistle here, he's saying, do we need some kind of letter of recommendation to you? There's an expression that we hear today, put it in writing. That's true. That's the only sure way of getting something passed on to somebody else. Put it in writing. And so as he says, do we need this kind of a letter? He says, you are our letter of recommendation in a way of speaking. You are the Epistle of Christ that I have been working with for all these years. I've been trying to develop you, to develop the Epistle of Christ. And that's where we get the title of our remarks. Of course, the whole concept of putting something in writing is very, very important. This is the way that modern civilization has progressed. We have a beautiful prophecy in Daniel 12:4 that says, in the time of the end, knowledge and learning shall increase, and men shall run to and fro. That's a remarkable prophecy that has been fulfilled. And it's an amazing prophecy in a way of speaking, because if you look back in time, the kind of knowledge and learning that has increased in our time is not thought of. Couldn't even be comprehended back there. And so, it's because that mankind has learned how to put things together in writing to assemble information in the writing of books. We have all kinds of media of communication today. The modern form is television, radio, of course, the computer with the internet. People are communicating with each other just like that. Snap of the fingers, all over the world. And information is being disseminated in this manner. Almost everybody has a web page today. So you go to the web page of any organization and you find out what they have, and they've listed it all, and you can read all about it. But this is the key to the fact that knowledge and learning has increased in our day. Something that God has permitted to happen in the time of the end. It's a definite sign that we have that we're living in a time of the end. This is something that was going to happen before His kingdom would be established. And it's a very important sign to us because all of this information has been classified and put together. You know, one of the definitions of science is the classification of knowledge on a certain subject. Whatever the science may be, whether it's the science of mechanical engineering, it's all the information you can get on that subject, it's classified properly, writing of all the information together, and then others can read it. And by this means, knowledge increases by leaps and bounds. So we have, as Paul was telling us tonight, going to teach a class in the science of entrepreneurial engineering. Well, he's going to classify all the knowledge on that. That's what makes it a science. But this is the key to man's success, to modern civilization progressing as it has. But it's all been permitted by God. You have to remember that. That this is not something that just happened out of the blue. This is all controlled by God. Now when we talk about this knowledge and how it's increased, today you can go to the library and get a book on any subject. How long have you been able to do that? Libraries in the United States date back to 1852. Before that, there weren't any libraries. And to even illustrate more dramatically than that, I'll tell you, take a page out of my own personal experience as a young man going to school and studying on certain subjects. Whenever we were assigned it, we had a favorite place in Chicago to go to was called the John Crerar Library. It was a technical library. It had all the technical information on almost any subject you can think of. And you'd go there, go to the card file, and look up the material that you're seeking to know about and get the information to where it's being published. And get all this information about the author and the publication, bring it to the front desk, and they send it down to what they call the place where they have the stacks. Now this was in the downtown Chicago, it was a large building, and they had several floors. They had several floors of these books that they had all bound. All the different journals that had been published had been bound for the year and stored there. And that's what they call the stacks. Well, if you went down to one of those rooms and you were working there, and you get something from, well, at that time, it was in the 1930s, you could get a thick volume on a certain journal, whether it was chemical engineering or mechanical engineering, whatever engineering science they had. And it was a pretty Think about it for that year. And if you're working those stacks and you go back, these vitals have become thinner and thinner until you get into about the 1880s, and then they disappear. There aren't any. They didn't have the information all classified and bound together and available for people to read. Now, they can't contain these volumes. They're so big and heavy. And as you know, they have to store a lot of information on what they call the computer chip, which is a little chip that can contain a lot of information. All on a small silicon chip. This is the extent of the knowledge that has increased in our time, that God has permitted to increase by man putting it in right. And if you wanted to know what you could about a certain subject, you get all of the best, all the books you could find on that subject from the library, bring it home. And if there are too many books, well, then you get the best ones. There's always a favorite book that had more information than others or was better written than others. And this is important. And it's surprising how that information got around to the student's body. And I remember there was one physics book that everybody kept asking for in the library. They wanted this book by Duff because it had all the problems so well explained, and many of them were problems that the professor was giving for tests and so forth. So it was a very popular book. Well, this shows you that there are different degrees of writing as well. There's some people that write well, some people that don't write as well. But there's a tremendous amount of information that's being generated in our day that makes for civilization. And now let's take a look at how the Lord gave us the information that's contained in His holy word, the Bible. Bible being the book. It's the book. And how did it come to pass? Years ago, the information that was generated, that was known, was put on tablets of stone, inscribed carefully. Later on papyrus, which is the forerunner of our paper today, the manuscripts that we had. A book in those days would be a scroll that would roll together, and you'd unroll it and read from different places where it had been carefully written. It took a lot of effort to put all that information together. But God supervised this. Remember this phrase now, put it in writing. God definitely has put it in writing here, friends. He's put it in writing for us. It's right here in this book. And it's amazing how over the years, different ones were used by God to put this information together. The prophets of old, and some of the things that they had to suffer. And yet, in spite of it, they endured, and they recorded this information faithfully. And we know that Jesus said to us that these men of old, when they put all this information together, they weren't doing it for themselves. They're doing it for you. Let's just turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew, where they were asking Jesus about why are you speaking to people in parables? And he gave them the answer at the time, that because it's given unto you to know about the kingdom. Let's start with the he's giving all kinds of parables here to the, in the 13th chapter. And I lost my place.
The parable of the sower is verse 18.
Yeah, that's the parable that's recorded here.
Well, 30.
But they asked him why he was speaking to them in parables.
Verse 10 and 11.
Verse what, 9?
10 and 11.
Verse 10. Instead of having it so I can read it to you, I have to tell you what it is from memory instead.
Verse 10.
What he said was that he spoke to them apparently that thing they had seen. Not understand. Hear you may hear, not perceive. And he quoted from Isaiah's prophecy in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, where it's recorded that God would tell people things, but they would not understand these things. And
that's a verse 14.
Verse 14?
Yes. 13, 14.
Yeah, and then it's fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Oh, yeah, we really start with the 11th verse where he says, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then fulfill the prophet Isaiah, which is the 5th chapter of Isaiah. And he continues, he says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and they should hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. How many times have you heard that? And how true it is. But these people are not given to understand that. So, even though God has recorded all this information for us so carefully through the prophets, yet we cannot understand it unless we receive His Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And He didn't stop there, because He said, but verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Righteous men and prophets have wanted to hear these things. Now this reminds us of how the Apostle Peter also made the same kind of statement in 1 Peter, when he's telling us of how God used the prophets of old to bring us the knowledge of God's plan. And in 1 Peter, thing with
text verse.
The ninth, well, for sometimes, in the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of what salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that amazing? The angels want to see the same thing and understand all these. But not even given to them to do this. But it's mind-boggling when you start to think about it that we should be given the privilege of knowing God's plan and what He's written in this way, so that we can know what He's going to do, when He's going to do it, how He's going to do it, and why He's going to do it. Get the answers to all of those questions. It's amazing. But this is what the Apostle Peter is now confirming from what our Lord said there in the 13th chapter of Matthew. The Bible has come to us with a great difficulty. Many of the prophets of old were tortured, were killed in a very sadistic fashion. When I think of how Isaiah was sawed asunder by King Manasseh, which sends shivers to my spine. Who would want to be a prophet of the Lord when such things were occurring? Remember the time when Jeremiah was prophesying against the kings of Israel and Judah, that they were going to be taken away by Babylon. They couldn't avoid it. God had said if this is going to happen, and he was writing according to tell of that. Of course, they put him in prison. They did all kinds of things to him. And there was one time there where the king was just cutting pieces of this writing of Jeremiah and throwing it into the fire, burning it up, destroying it all. No, he didn't. It got rewritten. Everything word for word that was restored. So even men like that were impelled by Satan to try to put a stop to the Holy Word of God. You know, that's the amazing thing about all of the wonderful works that we have in the Bible, written for our admonition, for our learning. This has all come to us great sacrifice. But it's the only way that we can know what God's plan is. This is His writing, His Word. That's why we treasure it so much. That's why we get together to study it. But that's not where it should all end. You could become an expert on any of the teachings of the Bible. But if you would fail to recognize what God was trying to do in giving you this information, then you'd miss everything. And that's where the epistle of Christ comes in. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where the Apostle Paul is telling us about this epistle and how it was written. And he says there, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in flesh, sweet tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God. And this is the work of our Lord Jesus. The work of the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus concerning us. Writing the epistle of Christ in our hearts. What does that mean? Probably a good way for us to get an understanding of that is to turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul is telling us about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and how they are to be developed in us. And he started off first in the 19th verse of that fifth chapter of Galatians by talking about the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is how the Apostle Paul was helping to write the epistle of Christ in the hearts of the Corinthian brethren. He was teaching them all of these principles that he's enumerating here to the brethren in Galatia. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that's what the Lord wants us to do. This is the writing of the epistle of Christ in the hearts of the brethren. I'd like to just read a short writing by Pastor Russell on this. He said, but the best epistle, even more valued than the Bible, as respects to reaching the hearts of men, is the life of a true Christian. A new creature in Christ, in which old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's all he said. But isn't that the essence of it goes back to saying that you've probably heard time and time again. When people talk about believing certain things, but your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. And it's by our actions, by our lives, that the real message is conveyed to people. This is the way they know whether you have been with Christ and burned with Him. That's a beautiful expression. To be with Christ and burned with Him. That's told of the apostles as they were with Christ. They were burning with Him. They were being changed into the image of God's Son. And that's what we have to do as we study the Scriptures, study God's Word. to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can be like Him. That's what we're saying to Him at the beginning here. Jesus, the very thought of Jesus, brings comfort, peace, and rest. If we focus our minds on Him and think of Him and what He would do under various conditions that may arise in our lives, oh, how much easier it would be for us to endure these experiences and to know what is the proper procedure. That's the writing of the Epistle of Christ in our hearts. That's the important life of the Christian that Pastor Russell spoke of. It's more important than the Bible itself. It is. That's how people know that you're a student of the Bible. When they see you putting into action the things that you have learned from the Scriptures. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling the brethren at Corinth. He says, you are our epistle to Christ. We don't need any letter of recommendation. People can see by how you are reacting to the things that I've been preaching. People can see how you are starting to do the things that you're supposed to do according to God's Word. And when they see that, they see the epistle of Christ being written in your hearts. And that's a beautiful expression, isn't it? To have that epistle written in our hearts. Not on tables of stone. It's a good thing that a lot of things that the Lord wanted recorded were recorded and written on stone, because they survived. They survived the test of times, and through all the years, we were able to get the information that was there. But now the apostle is using just as in contrast. He's saying that as enduring as that was, having that information that God wanted preserved for us of the Bible by having it recorded on tables of stone, He is now recording the epistle of Christ in your heart and my heart. Isn't that beautiful? That's the lesson, dear friends. That's the lesson that the Apostle Paul was bringing to the brethren in Corinth, and that's the lesson that we're trying to bring to you tonight. And we hope that as we go along, that people will see that we not only reverence God's Word, we appreciate everything that has been written there. Like this beautiful prophecy that we're looking at in Daniel 12:4, the knowledge of learning increasing, and you can see how it's been fulfilled, how it's come to pass in such a remarkable way. And there's no end to it. It's the definite sign of the times. Not only that we see all these things that are written in God's Word, that we can tell other people about, telling them about the blessings of God's kingdom, but that our lives may show forth these fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, faith, temperance, and all the good things that we're supposed to learn by being children of Christ. May the Lord help each and every one of us to faithfully keep inscribing on our own hearts this wonderful epistle of Christ, that we can be seen and known of all men. That's an expression that you've heard many times. Boy, I know him. I can read him like a book. But we hope that when they say that they're reading the epistle of Christ that's in their hearts. And read you like a book. And Lord, that's